Welcome to ACN.
Welcome, 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 everybody. This is Kathleen Williams, your host, and you are listening to Professional Style, where we talk about everything from soup to nuts that you'll need to upgrade your life. This show is for professionals, for professional parents, for professional singles, for professionals who are interested in taking their business life up a notch, their personal life up a notch, just upgrading your life all the way around, from education to policy to fashion to love to marriage to you name it. We talk about it right here on Professional Style. Thank you so much for joining me. You can call in to let us hear your comments, your questions, and the number is 909-265-9189. That number is 909-265-9189, where you can talk with us right here on Professional Style. We will be with you every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking about your professional style. So for tonight, we have a lot, our first show, we have a lot to share with you, a lot of fun things that we're going to be talking about this evening, including some surprises. We're going to have some politics. Of course, you know, this is the election season. And if you don't know that, now you know. Of course, that would mean that you have been living somewhere with your head in the sand or in your, so very deep in your books, at your work or whatever. But today is October 28th, and the election is November 6th, so you have a little over a week to figure out where you're going to vote. I hope you're not trying to figure out how you're going to vote, but where you're going to vote. If you haven't figured out who you're voting for, then just vote for President Obama, okay? Can I say that? I guess I can. Anyway, if you haven't figured out who you're going to vote for, you want to figure that out. Definitely where your voting poll is going to be, your voting location is going to be. There's been a lot of changes with regards to voting polls. In some states, it's going to be the voting procedures, whether or not you'll need identification, what you'll need to bring with you, if anything. All those things you want to find out before Election Day. And if you don't feel like doing that and putting any work into it before Election Day with regards to finding out where to go, what to do, how to show up, what to say, then just vote early, because you can vote early. You can contact your Board of Elections or go down to the Board of Elections in your area. If you're in New York City, in your borough, if you happen to be in Queens, it's on Queens Boulevard and not in Kew Gardens. Go down to the Board of Elections and cast your vote now. Yes, you can cast your vote before November 6th, but you cannot cast your vote after November 6th. I know in a lot of areas, particularly heavily Latino areas, there have been a lot of messages going out that you don't have to vote on November 6th. That election day is November 8th. November 6th is election day. Let me pull up my calendar right here. November 6th, Tuesday. That is, 10 days from today is Election Day. So make sure you are, put a plan in place to cast your vote in this historical presidential election. Okay, I didn't mean to go on that long for that, but this is important, and we will be talking about politics today. We'll have some stories for you. And some other surprises, but before I talk about that, I just want to bring in my beautiful sister, who is my co-host here on Professional Style, Ronnie Best. Hey, Ronnie, how are you?
Hi, good evening. Good evening, everyone.
How
are you? I'm wonderful.
I'm on
storm watch.
Yes, indeed. So are we all on storm watch over here on the Eastern Seaboard. And I know you want to talk about that because I know you have the in and the out and the up and the down and the back and the front of Sandy. So we want to talk about Sandy, and that's going to be real important, too. So let's talk a little bit about Hurricane Sandy.
Who's that? Of course.
Lisa,
you always have to have laughter in the background when you're talking about Hurricane Sandy. Sorry about that.
That's all right. So I was outside. Okay. I just got in a little bit ago, and the wind is just starting to whip up. We have some drizzle, but the sky has this very unusual kind of grayish kind of last house on the left kind of feel to it outside. It's very eerie.
Mm-hmm.
It's that calm before the storm. You know,
yeah.
When you watch a movie and you have that calm before the storm. That is what it feels like.
Yeah.
So tell me, forecaster Ronnie, what's the latest on Hurricane Sandy?
Okay, well, hold on 1 second.
And while Ronnie has a cold, for everybody who's listening, first
Hi.
Of all.
So on
all
the hurricane, I'm sorry about that.
I was just telling everybody that if you're on the East Coast, everybody is basically together with family. We've gathered up, you know, more people, everybody together in houses so that we can pool our resources and calm our nerves and, you know, watch TV and all that other kind of stuff. So that's
And eat everything in sight.
And eat everything in sight. I didn't want to add that part, but yeah.
Yeah, because we initially – I was heading back to Long Island,
right,
which is a primarily low-lying area, Suffolk County. I don't live right on the coast, but I do live in an area where it's surrounded pretty much by a lot of water and a lot of wind and tons of trees. So everybody had left the area but myself. So they called me and said, oh, don't go back out by yourself. Come, you know, to Zone A. Which is a mandatory evacuation.
Right.
Yeah. So it's exciting, but like you said, so far the wind is starting to kick up, but it's not severe at this point.
Well,
and
when did they say you're supposed to get the bulk of it?
Well, it says, from what I understand, the bulk of it is going to start after midnight tonight. The wind is going to start to become more brisk by morning. It's supposed to start to bring some heavy rains. Then by afternoon, the rains are supposed to increase with winds. They're expecting 75-mile-per-hour winds, which is above tropical storm. And so it's between 35 and 75-mile-an-hour winds, which makes it gale-force winds. Any of that doesn't sound comfortable to me. So.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we have a lot of mandatory evacuations. Everything's closed. They've turned off all of the public transportation, closed all of the schools, closed the courthouses and some other, government offices so far. So they really are expecting this to be a really severe storm. So... you know, we're just praying and hoping for the best. I don't want to see the winter start off on such a bad note.
Right. Now, it neither do I. Now, from what I understand, this is supposed to be the worst hurricane in history since, early 1930s or something like that? Sean
That's
was
what
telling
they're saying.
Me it was like the perfect storm.
That's what they're saying.
Right, because it's supposed to be like a nor'easter meets hurricane meets, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever to whip up and down the eastern seaboard. And this is what's the other thing. Maybe I can get Sean to talk a little bit about this, but they said it's going to be hitting from Virginia to, you know, the upper eastern coastline. And
well, it already reached Atlantic City, so it's, you know, earlier today, a few minutes ago, I was watching the reports that it had already gotten to Atlantic City. And then out in Suffolk County where Sag Harbor and out there, the Hamptons,
right.
The wind was vicious. So,
okay. Yeah. And then they said it's supposed to be hitting everybody all at once. So it's not like it's going to be rolling up the East Coast. It's going to be hitting everybody at one time, which is what's going to make it that much more severe.
The thrill of it all is for me, hearing Mayor Bloomberg speak Spanish. There's nothing more exciting.
You always have bumper. He does it often, too. Whenever he needs to make a presentation like this, he will also do it in Spanish. So kudos to the mayor.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I really do.
For sure. And so I did want to mention that if you are living in Far Rockaway, you have a mandatory evacuation if you are not aware of that. I do have a friend who lives in Far Rockaway, and she is not leaving. She said that her entire block decided that they weren't leaving, and she's not leaving either. And but she is a storm chaser. Leslie, just sending my love out to you, and I'm praying that you will be safe out there in Far Rockaway. She loves this kind of weather. She loves this. She said if she could chase storms, she would. So
that's why she moved to Far Rockaway, maybe, because it is exciting. It's living on the edge. It's exciting there even when it's not, you know.
Yeah, when it's not even hurricane.
When it's storm, conditions.
Yeah, whatever happens is going to be more severe in Far Rockaway, whether it's snow or plane crashes or this kind of weather, too. So, yeah, so she's not leaving, so I'm just, you know, sending, you know, great vibes and energy out and prayers up for Leslie and so forth. And we have some other friends that are driving out in South Carolina tonight as well. So all of you who are on the roads, as soon as you can get back in, because they have also canceled flights. So before you head out to the airport, make sure you call the airlines and find out what's happening with your flight. And if you are in Far Rockaway, stay safe. If you can get, you can still get out if you have time. And everybody else, be safe. We're going to get ready to take our first break of the evening right now. We're going to listen to a little bit of news, and we will be back in just a moment. You're listening to Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network. The number to call in is 909-265-9189, and we will be right back.
Welcome to SBNet News, 90-second news break. The TSA announced that it will phase out the controversial X-ray body scanners from 5 major airports. The transition to the new machine started in September and will be completed in January. O'Hare, LAX, Orlando International, Boston Logan, and JFK International, New York. U.S. oil output is surging so fast in the United States that it can soon take over Russia and Saudi Arabia as the world's biggest oil producers. Driven by high prices and new drilling methods, this will be the fourth straight year of crude increase and the biggest single-year gain since 1951, more than 60 years ago. Rolls-Royce will make a water jet for unmanned U.S. Navy aircraft only 3.9 inches in diameter. The propulsion system, which will enable these advanced aircraft to go about their duties, crisscrossing waterways and oceans, often for months at a time. Sprinter Lori Lolo Jones, the two-time Olympic hurdler, was one of the 24 athletes announced as a member of this year's U.S. bobsled team. Jones was criticized at the London Games for the enormous attention he generated. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Espritnet News on ACN.
Every president inherits challenges. Few have faced so many. 4 years later, our enemies have been brought to justice. Our heroes are coming home. Assembly lines are humming again. There are still challenges to meet. Children to educate, a middle class to rebuild. But the last thing we should do is turn back now.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Welcome back to Professional Style. I am Kathleen. I am Kathleen Williams, your host, and you're listening to ACN, otherwise known as the Ask Kathleen Network. And I am joined here by my co-host, Ronnie. And we are going to be talking about politics. And of course, when you talk about politics, you're not really talking about politics if you are not talking to none other than political strategist Jerome Esprit of EspritNet News. So I am excited to have Jerome here on the air with us as we talk about the upcoming election again on November 6th. Go out and vote early, but for right now, Jerome and Ronnie, so listen, what is happening? What's the latest development in the election? The latest that I have gotten is a barrage of emails from I got one from the president, from the White House, from David Axelrod, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, and Michelle, of course, and on and on and on and on and on, that the Republicans have raised record amounts of money outraising the Democrats, and I needed to send them money every single day so that they can match dollar for dollar and get some more ads out. So that's what I'm hearing right now, at least on the internet. But I would love to hear, Jerome, how you feel about what's next in these next ensuing days. What does the president need to do? We had a phenomenal show about the election last week. If you didn't hear it, then definitely you want to go check it out. But political strategist Jerome Esprit, let's have it. Tell us what's going on with the election.
Well, I wouldn't know from that point, but what's going on is everybody's doing what they should be doing in the last, 10 days of an election season, right? So they're getting out the vote and trying to raise money. That's pretty much the bottom line. There's nothing you can do 30 days out from an election as far as a campaign is concerned. But I can tell you that Mitt Romney is hiding from the media for the next for the last 2 weeks.
I'm noticing that. The only thing I see about Mitt Romney these days are pictures. I guess Mitt Romney himself now has Romneysia again. He forgot that he's running a campaign for president.
Well, think about it from a strategy point. Every time he says something, his poll numbers goes down. Those guys are a bunch of goofballs, and so this is smart. No, this is smart. Like, when their poll numbers started going up, they stopped talking. They just didn't want no part of nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they think they can just write it out. So not really any rallies. If the president says something, they might hear a comment here or there, but they are really not talking. So.
Well, I heard that two things. One, a lot of their campaign appearances and rallies have been canceled due to the storm, which, makes sense. They started scaling back a couple of days ago. Is the places that you can't fly to. And then, two, I heard that Romney felt comfortable because he is now leading the polls among white men.
Well, he's always been leading the polls among white men.
So they say that that's a new development, that white men have, gathered around him.
But that's the point, Ronnie. Those are old developments, and they're spinning it like it's something new. Right, because they don't have anything to do but sit there and try to get the press to chase something. So it's a nice trick. It's like saying that they're tied in the polls. Like, that is a nice trick.
That is a good trick.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I have not talked about, and I know, when we did the show earlier, is that the polls are close because they're saying it's more likely voters is what the polls are showing. But what's going on is that everybody seems to forget what happened during last presidential election. If anybody can go back to 10 days out, they said the polls were tight.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers that, but it's funny.
I do.
Like, they're going to go into the wee hours of the morning. You expect them not to do the same thing that they did last time? It's the same exact thing? Deja vu?
I think you get shocked that they actually do the same thing over again. And they also feel that the majority of Americans have amnesia.
Well, that they'll fall
don't remember. We can't remember from day to day.
Right.
They're too busy trying to get a new iPhone 5. You don't have time to remember anything. So that's, you know, what's the latest sale and trying to put things on layaway at Walmart or whatever. And now everybody's trying to get water. Listen, I went to the grocery store last night, and the water was gone, the entire shelf wiped out. So people have forgotten about the election pretty much for a couple of days. It's a distraction.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we have a caller on the line, a friend of the show, and I would love to bring her in and hear what she has to say about the election as well. Welcome, Kai from Atlanta.
Hi. Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Welcome. I'm sitting here and listening to you guys and excited about the show.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you're here, too. Welcome.
It sounded like the weather isn't as good there either. It's really cold and windy here.
Is it really?
Yes, and it was the other day I was walking my dog in a tank top and sweatpants and leggings, and today I had a coat on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, I was listening to you talk about your friend who's going to stay in the neighborhood, and thankfully they have basements and so forth, but I'm just praying that everyone is going to be safe. I have a niece in D.C. in law school, so I'm just praying for everyone's safety, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I hope she'll be safe too. And because it is supposed to whip through DC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And okay. All right. Well, everybody be careful.
Yes.
So, Kai, talk to us about the election. What are you feeling about the president?
You know, and I'm in Georgia too, so I have a really, really interesting perspective. But some things change and some yet remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's the good thing is they're saying that the record number of turnout in Georgia history among African Americans is this year. So that was the great news.
Wow.
The not so great news is that, you know, it's like Rome said, they will stop at nothing to put a spin on, you know, anything to keep to keep people from going out to vote, including, like he said, you know, the white males voting for Mitt Romney. That didn't come as a surprise to me either, but now they're trying to act like it's something new and
like
upcoming
new
and different. Yeah, we knew that all the time, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm in an area where I'm surrounded by Romney Ryan supporters. But
are you?
Oh, yeah. It's signs everywhere, and it's to be expected. They still boldly fly the Confederate flag, so, you know. It makes me even more determined to get out and vote and make sure the people around me vote. So, you know, it's just every now and then I'm reminded this is the South, you know.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, it just makes me that much more determined to just, we got to get out and vote. We have no excuse. But that was very encouraging, and they've been showing the lines of people. You know, some people are even fainting and getting sick, but they're determined to vote. So that was very encouraging.
And you know what's funny about that, Kai, is that people, you can see these same news stories. It just kind of depends on where you're looking that people are actually trying to sway you. Because the only polling group that Romney was ahead of anyway during the whole season was white men. White women was gone. The minorities were gone. People under 30 was gone. And they still are. But the only group he's always had is white men. President Obama never even came close to John McCain in the white men vote.
And, you know, I wonder if this...
No. Nope, not at all.
And I can't help but wonder, maybe being down here is... open my eyes a little, is the support for Romney because they really truly support what he's, what the kind of leadership he's promising, or is it a racial thing? They'll vote for anyone other than President Obama.
I mean,
there's a lot of people who don't want to see a black man in the White House, and they're very vocal about it down here.
About race?
Oh, yeah. It's very blatant.
Sorry, Kai. You know, Kathleen's in New York State, so she seemed to not really know that white folks are really bold about race.
Yeah, they're very, very.
I don't know if Ronnie gets that, but.
And I'm okay with that. I would rather know the kind of person I'm dealing with.
You know,
so
I would too.
Yeah, I mean, if I would rather you say, I don't want a black man in the White House, I'm fine with that, than to pretend that you really care. And down here, they have no problem letting you know they do not want a black family in the White House.
And, you know, it's like watching, like, Pryor's Morgan or listening to Donald Trump or anybody who is obviously racist. I can't actually listen to them to tell me what the weather is outside. And I'm always amazed that the people go, yeah, he's racist, but he said the way to move the economy is to take money from black people. And I'm like...
And, you know, I really tried to be objective, and I listened to Donald Trump. Sarah Palin I have no patience for. I can't even stand listening to her voice. But I really tried to listen to Donald Trump to see if he was joking or if he was serious about this ridiculous $5 million. As many people are out of work in an area where he is, he's offering $5 million to see someone's transcripts. The more he talked, the more of an idiot I realized he was. I was like, this is unbelievable. This guy is serious.
Yeah, and it's like, how does he get away with it? How does he get away with it? And people, he gets so much deference because of the fact that he is a, you know, he's so wealthy or known as being so amazingly wealthy. So people just, oh, he's wealthy, so you got to listen to him. Oh, he's wealthy, so you got to give him
bread.
Yeah,
oh, I mean,
you know. They're like, really?
Talk about a fool and his money. It's unbelievable. But you know what concerns me? I've traveled to a couple of different countries. And what concerns me most is that people are watching America. And if we are so blatantly disrespectful towards our own commander-in-chief, I mean, it's obvious. There's no filter. They think it's okay to just blatantly disrespect our president. How can we expect other countries to respect us when we don't even respect us?
Yeah,
it's
we don't respect our own. It's a shame.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. And
yeah, the arrogance is just, oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it.
Overwhelming. And it's. I think it's a major problem because you go any place, if you travel any place, even if you're not well-traveled and you look at the leadership in other countries, they even when there's a coup, right, there's still an understanding that what's expected is ultimate in respect, you know, and then if the person happens to be an Idi Amin or whatever, okay, well, look, we got to take this guy out. But ultimately, the countries are set up such that there is, you know, deference to the leader of the country. So if they are serving the country well, they're not going to be out there disrespecting them and, you know, calling him a monkey and calling him, telling him to shut up.
And it was unreal. And the shocking part is I was in an area in Beijing. It was a culture shock to me. Once I tried to explain, you know, they didn't recognize United States, but they understood America. Some. And the minute I said Obama, I kid you not, I couldn't believe how many people said, I mean, and they didn't speak a lot of English, but when you say Obama, they smiled. And some were able to say, we don't like Bush, we like Obama.
Wow.
In a totally different country. I kid you not, it was a complete culture shock to me. I was like, wow. But they were very supportive of President Obama.
Yeah. Which is, and that was, the complaint about him in the last
mm-hmm.
election. He's a rock
mm-hmm.
star, you know. He's just a big
right.
celebrity known around the world, but he doesn't know anything, do anything, you know, whatever. We can't put him
yeah.
in the White House. Which is, and he has proven all of that to be a major whopper, as he says.
Mm-hmm.
he is, as far as I can see, one of the most competent presidents
yeah.
that we've had
mm-hmm.
in the country in my lifetime. So
mm-hmm.
on that note, Kai, please stay with us. Ronnie, stay with us. Jerome is rocking on the board, and it sounds like it's time for us to take another real quick break.
Okay.
So we will take a break, listen to some messages, pay some bills, and we'll be back in just a second.
Okay.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We've got something out of the way.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
Everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to Professional Style on Ask Kathleen Network right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am joined tonight with my co-host, Ronnie. My sister, the lovely Ronnie Best, is here. And also we have with us tonight Kai, who is a columnist and an author, and she writes for soulofsyracuse.com. And we are so fascinated to have you here with us, Kai. And we also have with us tonight Jerome, Esprit, political strategist of Esprit Net News. So we are back on the air, and I have a quick story I want to share with all of you before we get back into our conversation. Ronnie, listen to this. This is a story about a woman who is a mom, and she calls home to check on her kids. And the nanny says, when she calls home, the nanny answers the phone, and she says, "The kids are not safe with me." And the woman, of course, she was panic-stricken. She's like, "What do you mean the kids are not safe? And the nanny says, I'm not okay." Her voice is trembling, and she says, I just can't take care of them. It's too much. They're not safe." And so the mother turns. She calls her neighbor, and she tells the neighbor, "Please go to my house and get my kids immediately." Then she called her husband and said, "Go home now." The husband worked closer proximity to the home than the mom did. So she told her husband, "Go home now," and the kids were in danger. So he went home, the neighbor picked up the children, and it turns out that the nanny was having a psychotic breakdown because she had broken up with her boyfriend. Her relationship with her long-term boyfriend had just broken up, and so she was having a psychotic breakdown. So I just, you know, it's a very interesting story, a great one for parents to take a look at and listen to the positive aspect of that. And I just wanted to know, you know, you and Kai, talk to me about that. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm really
I don't know. Right now I'm heartbroken because there was a story that did not end as lovely or as positively as that last Thursday, where the nanny actually did kill the two children on the upper, was it the Upper West Side or Upper East Side, Thursday. She killed the two children and then tried to kill herself. Hello? Hello?
Hi. Yeah, no, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So I've been traumatized. So I think that every day that you have to leave your young loved ones in the care of someone else, that maybe you may want to take a moment and just, you know, not scrutinize, but just have a personal conversation. How are you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is everything okay? You know, can I get you anything? You know, would you like a coffee? Did you have a good evening? Just, you know, and because a lot of times everybody's in such a rush and you just run in, you drop your kids off. Most of the time people are late anyway, you know, so they don't really have a moment to, like, get there with the kids and spend a little time with the children there in the company of that other person. So you can get a feel for exactly what's going on with them and get a feel for how the children respond, too, because children respond.
They
have
do.
Good instinct.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I know you've experienced that, and so have I. I remember leaving Sean with some babysitters, and when I went to pick him up, he was clinging to me, and it's like, you know, I don't want to go. He couldn't tell me what was going on. He was too young to be able to talk and tell me what was happening while he was there. But I could tell from picking him up and his body language and the way he was holding on to me when it was time to go back there that he did not want to go back.
Right. Right. Wow. And that's an indicator. That's a huge indicator.
Mm-hmm.
And if a child responds to someone like that, I'm not taking them back. I don't care what the person says.
Right, right.
That's the way I feel. That's the way I feel. You know, I just feel for children. They are defenseless, and so those of us who are of a sound mind
lost you a little bit. You kind of drifted away from the phone a little bit. You there?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, much better.
The phone wants to do its own thing. Every time the wind blows, something...
Yeah.
Something, you know, new and exciting happens with the phone. But, yeah, that's my take on it. Be sensitive to the children, especially the ones who can speak and the ones who can't, you know. Look in their eyes. Get their feel for how they are that day when they get dropped off. Look at them and discern what's going on when you pick them up. You know, really be in tune. And slow down, people, slow down. You know, I don't know this, you know, with this woman, at least she was able to get her kids away from this person before something terrible happened. But this other lady now, her children, she's lost two of her children.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
That was awful.
Just traumatizing. Ty, that was, did I hear you?
Yeah, it's you know, it's like you said, thank gosh this woman was able to recognize that she was having an episode of some kind and those kids were safe. But I did hear about the children who had been killed by the nanny, you know, and it's sad. And it's like, I don't know if it was my mom or my sister or someone. I don't have any kids, but, you know, kids give you clues. And, you know, sometimes it pays to pay attention to your kids, their moods, their behavior. And my friend said every time she would pick her daughter up from daycare, she gave her a thorough examination, you know, check for marks, for bruises. And because, you know, you're absolutely right to just spend some time with the people who's caring for your child, you know. It's just a really scary society that, you know. And mental illness is something to be taken very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm,
it used to be something
mm-hmm.
we joked about, you know, oh, she's
yeah.
crazy, she's bipolar. But, you know, it's more people than we think who suffer from bipolar disorder and chemical imbalance and some who don't even know that they have it. So, you know, it's not funny anymore. It's not something to be joked with, you know. That's a very sad situation.
Awful.
Right, right. So for those of you who just tuned in, just real quickly, this was a story about a mom who was at work. Her husband was at work, and they left their two children with the nanny. And when she called home to check on the kids, the nanny told her that the children were not safe with her, that she wasn't feeling stable, and the children were just not safe. And fortunately, this woman was able to call her husband, tell him, get home, get the kids, you know, and called a neighbor who was home nearby, you know, go home and go, can you go to my house right away, please, and go pick up my kids. And everyone kind of, you know, rallied together and made sure that the children were safe and also that the nanny could get help. She had just had a breakup with a boyfriend. So the message for a lot of the parents who are listening, and of course this fits into professional style, is what happens is as you are working in your career, you're moving up the ladder and you know, hardcore professional, you are going to be at work. Your spouse may be at work. And how do you do that and take care of the kids? So basically what you need is a whole network of people to
right.
support you and be right and be available to you, have phone numbers of neighbors in case something is going on, a hurricane's coming, you know, anything,
mm-hmm.
somebody
mm-hmm.
that can just pitch in and help because, you know, job and family is basically what keeps us professionals moving.
Mm-hmm.
So we all need, you know, we all need a network, a village of people to kind of help
right.
keep our families flowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
thankfully that ended well.
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully it did. I'm really excited about the fact
mm-hmm.
that it ended. Well, we had a great story and a great message because, like Ronnie was saying, it's wonderful that this woman herself was
mm-hmm.
able to recognize it and share, you know,
mm-hmm.
hey, I'm not in a good space right now. I need your help.
And hopefully she got the help she needed, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, having a long-term relationship end, you know, sometimes you would say, okay, come on, it's just a relationship, get over
mm-hmm.
it. But this kind of, you know, stuff happens, and people are really stressed out. So
yeah.
And like you said, mental health issues are key. So it's important that we pay attention to the fact that people really
right.
do need support
mm-hmm.
For their mental health issues. So this is a good one, a great way to a great way that this particular one turned out. Children safe, nanny safe, family safe,
mm-hmm.
yay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Win-win situation.
Win-win-win, absolutely. So,
which brings it back to the healthcare issue. This is why
yes.
we need healthcare. You
yes.
know, this is exactly why we need healthcare.
Thank you, Kai. That was a perfect segue to bring Jerome back into our political strategy.
Okay. I didn't cue her at all.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
Yeah. You know, I unlike with Ronnie and Kai, when, you know, just thinking about that other story, I didn't see it as a negative story to me. The story kind of
mm-hmm.
is that woman recognized that she had an issue, and she called
mm-hmm.
the kid's parents. Like she said, look, something's
oh,
going
called.
On with me.
Right, okay, right.
Mm-hmm. Right, it wasn't a negative story, like she cracked and she had to keep her eye on
right.
her. It was after the mother of the kids got home, she said, I talked to her, and I realized it was a part of her breakup that I remember her talking about later or earlier in the week or
mm-hmm.
month or something. So
mm-hmm.
I looked at it and saying, listen, isn't that great of her to recognize that before
right.
she did something
right.
yeah.
that she didn't, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like I kind of think of it as a good story. Like the woman called her, would you say she called her neighbors, she called her husband, she told her neighbor mm-hmm. to go over to the house to make sure the mm-hmm. kids are all right. Like they took mm-hmm. the steps that they needed to. So
mm-hmm.
I think
exactly.
this is what we're all supposed to do, and it means you don't always isolate yourself from your friends and family because you never know. Everybody's
you're absolutely
raising,
right.
It takes a village is just kind of
yeah.
the name of that story.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
how I took it anyway.
It does. It really does. It takes a village. And you know, and this is just one aspect of it. Like, you just never know. You just, like they said, I think this woman, when she was describing how she found this nanny, that it was painstaking, that it took them a lot of time to find somebody that they really felt comfortable with and so forth.
Right.
So you just never know what could go down, you know. So
mm-hmm.
this was a great story, Jerome. So thank
mm-hmm.
you. Thank you for referring it to me. I really appreciate it because this is another reminder of how important that village is. And so that's
mm-hmm.
another one of those things that we talk about right here on Professional Style, how to create that village, how to make sure that your professional life and your family life are synced hand in hand, how to upgrade your professional lifestyle. So we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to Professional Style. This is Kathleen Williams on the Ask Kathleen Network. Please call us and let us know what your thoughts are, 909-265-9189, or you can join us online on your computer, and we will talk to you then. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with another story for you before we close out. See you in a minute.
Here's the manifest with 102 souls on board.
Let's get them tucked in. We're ready to push.
How you feeling, Whip? Look like you pulled some kind of move up there, man. You saved a lot of lives.
We are in a dive.
I have no control on my side.
We're going down.
Everybody in brake position.
The way you landed that plane was nothing short of a miracle.
I see nothing but ocean!
Listen to me. Trim us nose down.
Plane fell apart at 30,000 feet.
We're gonna roll it.
What do you mean roll it?
Ready? Here we go.
I'm on the list, baby girl.
There is all kinds of crazy news people out here.
You're a rock star, man. You will never pay for another drink as long as you live.
Captain Whitaker is a real American hero.
This is Hugh Lang. He's an attorney from Chicago. Why do we need a lawyer?
You don't remember having your blood drawn the night of the crash?
You had alcohol in your system. That could be life in prison.
They anticipate hearings in 10 days.
Captain Whitaker!
You're under the microscope right now.
Are you hiding something?
You gonna shoot me? Can I come inside?
Yeah, come on inside. I'll shoot you inside.
This is an act of God.
Those God would do this.
Our investigators concluded the aircraft failed.
The FAA placed 10 pilots in simulators, recreated the event. Every pilot killed everybody on board. You were the only one who could do it.
He saved my mom.
I want to talk about the days leading up to the accident.
This thing is so heavy, it's killed me.
I drank the night before the flight.
Does Whitaker know he's going to jail?
My clients don't go to jail.
It's alive. It's alive.
I'm trying to save your life.
What? Life.
We're going to stop.
Wait for impact.
No one could have landed that plane like I did.
Welcome back. You're listening to Professional Style. I'm Kathleen Williams, your host. You can still call in. We have a few minutes left to talk with you. The phone number is 909-265-9189. Again, that number is 909-265-9189. So give us a call and we can talk about the incredible Denzel Washington and his upcoming film, Flight. And that's what you just heard, the trailer from Flight. It is going to be opening.
I'm just joking. It was held for Denzel, whatnot for the movie. It's all Friday.
It will be opening on Friday. And I for one cannot wait to see it. It is
me either.
Oh my gosh, Denzel, another Denzel movie. So listen, have you all heard about
Halle Berry?
Huh?
Halle Berry's gonna play 6 characters. He's doing the Eddie Murphy.
I
really?
Know, but what movie is that gonna be? I saw that coming up soon. She's an Asian man and several other characters.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but and we'll talk. I'm going to pull that up in a second. But so, what have you all heard about Flight? How do you feel about it? What's the what do you
think?
Huh?
I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Me three. You said
Team Denzel. Team Denzel.
Team Denzel. Absolutely. And so now he rides. He drives trains, and now he flies planes.
Isn't he awesome? Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Did you all see the movie? What was the name of the movie that he did with the when he was driving the train? I love that movie.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I'm going to have to pull up my Denzel movie.
It's Pelican something? Wasn't it one of those?
Taking of Pelham 123.
Yeah. I don't even remember because...
Not that one. The one after that.
Oh, because I don't even remember the one with Rosario Dawson in it. So just the other.
Okay, you.
Whatever. Whatever to you people.
He's such a man. Gee whiz.
But this movie, Flight, is about Denzel. Of course, he's a pilot. And oh my goodness. And I don't know if you all saw him on the cover of GQ. Did anybody catch that?
Yes. Awesome. It's about time too.
I'm gonna take a zero.
Great Googa Mugga. They did a high fashion makeover on Denzel Washington, and who thought that was even possible?
Yeah. He can wear a suit.
He can wear a suit, my God. But at any rate, okay. So this movie, he is a pilot, and he something horrific happens on the plane. And Denzel is able to land the plane like no other pilot is able to land the plane. However, they do a blood test on him, as you all heard in the trailer, and find out that he had been drinking the night before the flight. So they found, there's a blood alcohol level on him. Mm-hmm. And guess who his lawyer is?
Who?
Don Cheadle.
Yes. Oh, awesome.
I know. I don't think I've seen Don Cheadle and Denzel in a movie together before. Have you? Have we seen that?
No, not yet, but I'd be online
now.
Not
that I can recall.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So the movie that I was talking about, everybody, is Unstoppable. Did you all see that?
Oh.
I remember when it came out, but I missed it.
Listen, if you didn't see Unstoppable, go buy that movie. That was the movie where he was driving the train, and he actually he did the stunts himself. He was driving the train and ran across the top of the train and everything. It was really.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I have to add that to my collection.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie. So now here's another one where, I don't know what they've said. Jerome, if you've heard... Did he really sit with pilots? I'm not going to say he really flied and landed it, because this is like some outrageously incredible landing that he did, rolling the plane in the air and everything. If you watch the trailer, you can find it online at, any one of them. Just put in Denzel Washington Flight trailer, and you'll be able to see it on YouTube. It's pretty incredible. So it's coming out on Friday. I'm recommending that everybody go check it out. It's Denzel in rare form, and, what an incredible actor.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I don't like this conversation. I just want to say, I know this is not a guy show, because on Black on Black Crime, we talk about Zoe Saldana and Valadana and all of those. Pam Grier. I know we do that, but I am staying out of this like nobody's business. But But, oh, wait, I do want to interrupt you. Because just to put myself in a little bit more trouble, one of the stories for our news program on Thursday is, what is his name, Idris Elba? I don't know.
Idris. The other,
get it right.
Other,
okay, I don't know his name.
The king of acting.
That guy.
Idris
yes.
Elba.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so I can tell
exactly.
you who this woman is. This woman named Naomi something, who's playing in the new James Bond movie, she confirmed that they're in talks with him to take on the next James Bond, but whoever this guy is, oh, Daniel Craig, who's there now, he has a contract for two or three more. But they actually are in talks to get the guy who you guys just named in as James
Elba.
Bond. Whatever
you
his
know,
name is.
He would be a good person for the part.
Oh, y'all just dumped Denzel like that?
That?
Y'all could dump Denzel like that?
Well, Denzel, of course, would be good. But Idris, I can see Idris. He's got the London accent. He's, you know, I could see him doing that. He's got the physique.
Bold.
Yeah, yeah.
James.
He gets my vote.
Bold.
And he's got the intensity.
And he's what?
He's got the intensity.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
the
female following.
Apparently, he has a following.
A big huge following.
Right,
you have to be so intense
style.
To be James Bond. Good, excellent control of. You have to be so controlled and so powerful. Love him. He'd be great.
Yes.
Idris
I agree.
Elba. Bold James Bond.
That
so
was
anyway.
That was good news. That was a great. Thank you, Jerome, for that news. We'll be all looking out for that.
Whatever to all of y'all. I'm gonna tell you. I don't care what y'all say his name is. I'm not gonna remember.
Idris Elba. You're doing that
That's
on purpose.
Send this picture to your email.
And her name is Bond girl Naomi Harris, right? So there's an
yes.
indefinite possibility.
Oh,
but
yeah, and she's this, pretty. So I can tell you, I'm going to remember Naomi Harris's name
that's okay.
Well, they said that Beyonce dropped out of the Clint Eastwood film.
Yes. And I'm very proud of her.
Yes, we're all so proud of her. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy she did that. That's like the height of my last 2 months. I was thrilled when I heard she dropped out of the film. Thank goodness.
Yes, and she was so professional the way she did it. That's what was, you know, that was what was awesome
well,
about
how,
it.
How'd she do it? How'd she do it? Share.
She said, I believe it was scheduling conflict or something that was the reason.
Right.
I mean, we all know the reason, but
right. She
said scheduling conflict, which...
Right.
That
so
works
she
for
didn't,
me.
She didn't throw any darts. She
right.
didn't slam
she didn't
the door.
Detail.
She did
right.
nothing. She just said, I am not going to make room to do this movie. And she's not going to.
Right. Yeah.
That was
yeah,
that
I
was
personally
good for the
think that they, you know, I didn't think that they were well, you guys might shout me down for this, but I personally don't appreciate the abuse that our government leader, the president, the commander-in-chief of the most powerful nation on earth takes the brunt of the abuse that he has to live up to for the so-called
right.
opposing party. To me, it borderlines on treason. I didn't like it when they did it to George Bush, and he wasn't my favorite guy.
Right.
I thought he was a little bit, you know, on the edge with his a lot of things he did, but I do feel like, if nothing else, you know, why don't we show some unity at some point, some kind of respect? I just don't get it. And I'm glad you brought that up, Ty. I just don't like the way they treat the and how can you expect anybody else to respect you
exactly.
or your nation and the way you behave? So I was so proud of her for buying one out because Clint
right.
Eastwood, to me, that was unacceptable, what he did.
Exactly. I mean, feel free to disagree with whoever you know, in a leadership role, but don't be so blatantly arrogant as to think
and
it's
rude
okay
and
to
disrespectful.
Be so yes, it's so rude and disrespectful about it.
Yeah. I'm
he
gonna,
and Donald
I'm,
Trump, both of those two together, need to be
yeah.
put away somewhere. And,
yeah.
and they need some therapy.
Yeah. I mean, putting his face on monkeys and, you know, just blatant ignorance and that's going too far.
It
Which,
is
you know.
Going too far. I agree. and on chicken, and you know,
yeah.
You know, we have an Obama fried chicken out here in Queens, and it's owned, you know, who it's, well, anyway, but like, why would you? There was nothing called Obama before, you know, President Obama took office. It was right at the height of the 2008 campaign, and that thing is still, that place is still open. I've never been in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've never been in there, but they are still open. So at any rate, on that note, we're going to end up going into a couple minutes of, we're going to go into a little overtime. So I would love for you all, if you have a quick question, make sure you get it in when we get back from this quick break. You're listening to Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network. I am here with Ronnie and Kai and Jerome, and we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Vaseline Total Moisture is now better than ever with pure natural and multi-layer moisture, infusing deeply, absorbing quickly, so it feels good and does good for skin. Next Generation Vaseline.
Where does a great night out get even better? At the new Ruby Tuesday, with our freshly made lobster tail and steakhouse sirloin for only $14.99. Enjoy the tempting combination of sweet lobster paired with a perfectly seasoned sirloin, cooked just the way you like it, and served with a free garden bar, all for only $14.99. But join us soon. A pairing this perfect won't last forever. The new Ruby Tuesday.
The best way to tell how great you look is in your jeans. Drop a jean size in 2 weeks with the Special K Challenge. With more delicious options than ever. Jeans don't lie. Go to the new SpecialK.com to design your plan.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Professional Style. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, and I am here with my co-host, Ronnie. And Kai, a columnist and author, is on the line with us. She also writes for SoloSyracuse.com, as well as Jerome Esprit, who is a political strategist and the host of EspritNet News on EspritNet News Radio. So we are just here about to bring the show to a close. I've got a couple of quick things that I wanted to ask you all about before we do that. The topics that are on my heart right now that I want to bring up is, listen, the First Lady won mega cool points with me when she was double dutching on the Kelly Agrippa show. Did you all see that? Did you all see that?
I didn't. I wish I had.
Yes, they had a team of kids that were, you know, they were, I don't want to say double dutch experts, but they, you know, a double dutch team. And so they were doing some really great tricks and so forth. And as they got to the close of their routine, Kelly was the co-host with Kelly that day was, somebody help me. Sports news. His brother does sports.
Michael Strahan? He's with Kelly.
No, African American. No, not Michael Strahan. They had a visiting sit-in host. He was so popular on TV for years and years and years and years and years. Why can't
I? Oh, you're talking about. He used to be on Channel 4.
Yes. Yes. Everybody knows him. If I could think of his name right now, I'm having a brain.
Only because you said you couldn't remember him that I can't remember.
Oh, but y'all get mad at me when I can't remember people.
No,
okay.
Nobody took their fish oil nutrients this morning.
Yes.
I didn't.
See, if it's not Wayne Brady, I can't remember who was on there, but.
No,
I mean,
not Wayne. It's not Wayne Brady. And I'm looking at him, and I can't even think of his name.
All right.
That's a shame.
And he went to HBO, Jerome. Remember, he was on Channel 4 Forever, then he
Brian
got on HBO.
Brian Gumbel. Oh, my goodness.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Brian Gumbel. He was never one of my favorite folks.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he was co-hosting on the Kelly, I don't know if you know what the show's called now. It's called Live with Kelly. So they came to the completion of their routine, and they said, well, we have another person who can jump to double dutch or whatever, and she's going to be here just to jump a little. And then Michelle Obama walks out, and everybody started like,
oh,
that's
awesome.
God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they turned, and they had Kelly jump. Now, Kelly Ripa has never jumped double dutch, and so this was like her first time, and it was hilarious watching her jump. And then the first lady got in and jumped like, she knew what time it was. I mean, you know, she was turning around and jumping.
Oh, wow.
It was great, doing a little do-do-do-do, you know, and then, you know, leg up and up. And so they were turning for her like, oh, let's turn for somebody who's just never jumped before,
mm-hmm.
and let's help her, you know, let's help her jump. And she's like, could you turn a little faster, please? It was great.
Oh, that's awesome. And she's near 50.
I have to go on YouTube and see it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Think about, in the history of the White House, who can we even think of that would even come close to being able to do something like that and be comfortable with it?
That's why everybody got to get out and vote.
A first lady?
A first lady.
First of all, didn't Nancy Reagan say just say no? She would have had a heart attack trying to jump. She would have said no. We go through all the first ladies. The only one that would have came close is probably Rosalind Carter, because she only one seemed like she'd be game, but all the rest of them wouldn't have. They wouldn't have.
No
really.
Way.
Jackie
yeah.
Kennedy
like
too pretty. Yeah, she's the only one.
Yeah, she wouldn't have. That wasn't ladylike to jump like
yeah.
no,
you know, for them.
No,
because they weren't really wearing pants back then either. So
right, yeah.
You know.
No,
yeah, she's pretty awesome.
She's awesome.
She's
and
so
I mean,
active
she's
and she's so yeah. Okay, talking about personal style, her personal style is everything.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
yes.
Talk about style. We're gonna have to do a whole show on Michelle Obama because
mm-hmm.
talk
mm-hmm.
about style, just from her hair to her skin to her
mm-hmm.
makeup to her dresses and her outfits, and she goes
and her husband has a $45 billion smile. His teeth are so white they blind you.
Yes,
and Mitt
right.
Romney hasn't been using his white strips.
Oh Lord, I don't know.
<He's
laughs>
<white. laughs> Well, we are talking about personal style.
Oh, God.
Oh
wow,
okay.
I gotta look at that next time.
Well, his personal style is out of Johnny Carson collection, so his style ain't really. It is 1945.
Thank you.
I guess as a guy,
I
was gonna say as a guy, I shouldn't be jumping into this, but I don't think his wife's style is even that cool either. But that's just
no, it's not.
But that's just maybe I don't pay her enough
kind
attention.
Kind of bland.
Yeah.
Well. No, and I was trying to actually check that out because, you know, of course you got to check out the wife, even though I was trying to
right.
do it on the
mm-hmm.
DL, right? But
mm-hmm.
What's her first name again? I can't, Pat?
Ann
was one of those. Okay, so I was looking at some of the outfits that she's worn, and it's, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
I don't really know.
I'm telling you why they're not going to win. Because I don't mean to cut you off, Kathleen, I'm sorry, but
mm-hmm.
I have to get this in. They're not going to win simply because she hasn't sold one dress. Michelle has sold so many clothes. Everything that she has worn from day
yeah.
one, before they won the election till now, when she wears it, it sells out.
It flies off the shelf. You're absolutely right. And Ann Romney tries. She just... I mean, some people have it, some don't. She just doesn't have it. She
okay,
doesn't have that it factor.
All right, so I'm online, and the headline is Third Debate Fashion Roundup. Michelle Obama dazzles and Romney doesn't. And that's in the Philadelphia Inquirer. They have a pictures of Ann Romney's outfits and so forth. And, you know, and so she's getting a thumbs down.
And and hence why they can't stand the First Family. It's because nobody likes the cool kids. Like, it's like, if you can't be the cool kids, you definitely don't like them. And I think that's where that personal dislike comes in with the Romneys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't think they deserve to be there, and we're better than them, and we have more money. Hence, I don't want to throw this up, but hence Columbine, right? When you can grow up with a lot of money, but you don't like the popular kids because you should be more popular because you have money, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. And you can see that in the Romneys when they look at them. They're like, why are we even answering questions?
And they're not relatable. They just don't – they don't even look like they like people. I mean,
but he likes cars. He likes cars.
Yeah, he likes
cars. Like
cars.
And he likes Big Bird.
No, he doesn't.
He likes
people
like
Big Bird. Proud. I mean, how can you run a country and you don't like people?
He said, the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of Big Bird. I heard him say it with my own ears. Help me if I'm wrong. Anybody help me?
And Kai, to your point, I'd say that the people who want to run for office, they'll sit and talk and say, here's what I want to do for the community or for the city or for the state. Or they say that in their first words. And I said, well, first of all, you need to talk to people. How can you handle that?
Yeah.
And they normally can't.
How can you lead people and you don't even like people? You don't like being around people. When was the last time we seen Mitt Romney with a baby? Even just playing or holding her.
I'm sorry.
Kind of dirty up his shirt.
No, no. There's a clip of him with a baby. The baby was crying like crazy. He had to give it back. It's actually a pretty funny clip. So the clip of Mitt Romney with a baby is probably why he doesn't touch them anymore. That happened like probably a few weeks ago. He reached in the crowd and grabbed the baby, and the baby looked at him and turned around and was just like, just started screaming.
But it was that
baby.
Did
he have
anything?
I didn't hear.
Did he have anything that we love about him?
Did he have what?
Is there anything we love about him?
I don't know. He doesn't come across, you know. And I was talking about this before. This woman was being interviewed, and she's probably in her, you know, mid-50s-ish, and she says, he reminds me of every boss that I hate. And she's a white female. She goes, there's no way I'm voting for him. The crowd that they're trying to get, and they're telling you that the polls are moving on, are the people who can't stand him the most, which I think is interesting. It's like really.
And, you know, no blatant disrespect to Mitt Romney. I don't know the man personally. But there is nothing on his agenda that is relatable to me. Or to anyone that I know, or to anyone that I've encountered. I just don't connect with him.
Cutting capital gains is not going to help you.
I mean, if I had to sit down and have a conversation with him, I don't think we would have anything in common. I could see myself talking to the president, and we could talk for hours on just about anything. But he's just not a relatable person. You know, nothing against him personally. I don't want to bash him like they've been bashing the president. But we're not relatable on any level.
Right, but at least your bash will be in it will have some value someplace. They don't like the president because he's black, and mainly that's it. And so nobody really wants to talk about it from that point. They just want to say his policies didn't work. Well, clearly his policies did. And so I was just talking about the news story that came out, and I'm going to – I did it on news on Thursday, where the United States is about to pass Russia and Saudi Arabia to be the largest oil-producing nation in the world. The United States is about to pass them, right? And so that news story came out last week, and nobody's reported on it. And even the Associated Press and United Press International, UPI, they've actually pulled that news story. So I had to find it internationally to actually read it.
Wow.
Yeah.
How come nobody forgets that President Obama's mother is very, 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 very white?
Exactly.
He's not just black.
No, he
represents both. He represents all of the people in the country. Why don't they relate to that?
The stuff that they said about her that was so disrespectful, I'm like, Really?
Oh, gosh, that was
dead.
Awful.
Oh, my
they
God.
They made her to be a porn star. You mean that?
Yeah.
Hey,
that
this
was,
is professional
horrible.
Style. We're professional.
Oh, did I say porn? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you, not,
they
not that.
Some, they said that she had a profession.
Hey, they said that she had something to do with the oldest profession, but so. don't make me bring the story from the news about the woman who sold it.
Don't make me bring that up.
I want to bring up old stuff.
Okay, all right. So we'll move on. Okay, so Madonna drew boos and triggered a walkout by several concert goers after she touted President Obama on her Madonna tour in New Orleans. Is that possible?
Wow, really?
Yeah.
She did what?
Madonna drew boos and triggered a walkout by several concert goers after she touted President Barack Obama on her MDNA tour in New Orleans.
Wow.
The
Material Girl,
I guess that's to be expected. Everyone, you know, not everyone's for President Obama.
Well, first of all, just look at the big picture. It is Louisiana. Stuck
right,
in
exactly.
Mississippi and Alabama.
Exactly.
Like, come on now. We got to put that in context.
Mm-hmm.
It's New Orleans, so that's heavily Democratic and black, but it is traveling to see Madonna. So I would almost bet that the reporter heard more boos than the Madonna did.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure more stayed than left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so the last story I wanted to bring up, and Jerome, this one is for you. There was news all over the place, all over the internet, newspapers and so forth, that President Obama called Mitt Romney a BS-er.
Called him a BS-er?
Yeah. BS-er. Thank you.
Yeah. And he said that by saying that this is off the record. And the person off the record put it on the record.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who can
but,
you trust?
I mean, it's
when
the
you
truth,
wanna,
but,
you
know.
Right.
Wait,
but who can you trust?
What'd
you say? Who can you trust?
Well, here's the thing. Everything is always on record with the president, but it just lends to a bigger conspiracy theory that I think white folks, especially in media, feel the pressure of the white folks who are complaining that they're being biased in favor of the president, and they overcompensate by trying to blow him out of the water for craziness. And so with the president in particular, you have to remember, people hate him. Like, there are Republican folks who just don't like him, so they have to get the middle of the road white folks to not like him as well. But
they don't like anybody.
Well, this is the point.
They're going to hate Mitt Romney, too, if they get a chance. They hated President Bush. Remember, they hated his guts.
Well, wait. But President Bush was different. President Bush sent some people to war that he shouldn't have went. So when they go back and actually say that they lied about the intel and they knew that they were lying, that's different than saying the economy is bad under this president and we need a new president. Because technically, you're totally discarding the fact that you had no money before he took office. Like, we had nothing. So now we got $200, and they're saying you should have had $1,200. That is
right.
Good in hindsight.
I mean,
honestly,
the unemployment rate could be at zero. We can have every working American, we can blame for unemployment in other countries. They're still going to find
something
he did
to blame.
Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be something.
He should get reelected just on killing Osama bin Laden, hands down, end of story. That's it. If he did nothing else for the rest of his life, that should have been it, because they let him run rampant, sit back and watch DirecTV for 11 years or 10 years. And
but,
did nothing about him, could care less.
But you think about it, this is the president's style. Like, that's his style. Like, what he does is he doesn't take credit for everything.
Right.
He doesn't brag about it. So if that was Bush, we would have had parades going from New York to California, and he would have been right in the front saying, "We killed
Osama."
And that's
what makes him
would
so presidential. He's doing what he's supposed to do as a president. That's what he's supposed to do. You know, and that makes him look that much better when he doesn't talk about it.
Well, and at the same time, you know, we're hypocrites by saying he didn't do anything, and then how come he didn't tell us? And then when President Clinton says, you know what, he created more jobs in 3 years than I did in four, then everybody says, how come the president's not saying that? If he would have said that, y'all would have been like, yeah, but oil prices are high. We have found something.
It's always something.
You know,
maybe
you know what I like?
I don't need to know everything that goes on in the White House. I need to know that my commander-in-chief is doing the job of a commander-in-chief. I don't need to know the ins and outs of what goes on behind the scenes.
Oh, you know what I want to say, and you're right about that. That's why we elect people to filter the scary stuff away from us.
Exactly.
They're not supposed to be telling us.
Who stand on the wall, according to Jack Nicholson.
Exactly. But you know what's cool is that, I don't know if you guys remember in the debates, that Mitt Romney actually brought up oil prices. You know what the president said? Now, he treated him like a five-year-old in the foreign policy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the reason that oil prices were low because the economy was bad and people couldn't pay for gas. That's a sign that the economy is getting better because they're raising gas prices because they add the taxes back to the gas where they take them out when nobody's buying. I like the way he explained that. It's like, okay, right? We were doing so bad, we had to do that. Ah, that was classic to me.
Yeah. So
the last topic I wanted to bring up is the new Barclay Center in Brooklyn. If you all have heard about this, of course, now the many of our sports teams have a brand new center. The New Jersey Nets are now the Brooklyn Nets, and the center is partly owned by Jay-Z, who had a concert, first concert that sold out, like, I think, what, within the first 30 minutes or something crazy when the tickets went on sale. So then they had a huge concert, gospel concert, and a Caribbean concert is coming up next Friday night, which I am going to. Actually, I'm going to be one of the few featured authors at a reception that they're holding there. I know. They called me yesterday and asked me if I wanted to be one of the authors because I won that book club thing on Caribbean.
Oh, you did win!
Yeah, on Caribbean Fever. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Thank you. So what do you all think of the Barclay Center in downtown
it's gorgeous.
Brooklyn?
It's gorgeous, and it's such a facelift for the area. It is going to change the entire area. It's beautiful. It's well-structured. The structure fits because I've drove past it several times now, and it fits perfectly in the area. It gives a facelift to the area. It's going to bring people from Manhattan to the area. Islanders, the hockey team is going to move from Nassau to that. It's everything. It's everything.
Oh,
it's going to bring economy, jobs. It's great.
If it increases the economy, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, but the people that are ranting and raving about the fact that it made the area inaccessible financially, meaning that they no longer would be people won't be able to afford real estate in the area. They couldn't afford it before they built it.
All right, don't be mean, Ronnie.
Good old Ronnie.
On the stand.
You
couldn't
Ronnie
live there before.
Because those who could afford it aren't saying a word.
That's right. They are very happy.
They're very happy for the cleanup, yeah.
The only thing that I'm a little salty about, and listen, go ahead, talk about me, but I am a little salty that when they put up the boxes for sale at the Barclay Center, I wasn't able to jump on it at that time. And now those boxes have gone from $3,000 to probably $30,000. So was one of the people that they presented it to before they opened, before it was finished. And man, oh man, I didn't buy it. And so now that deal is off the table, and I'm a little salty because I want somebody to call me up and just like give me a box.
Or just
care. Now the Barclay Center is, they said it cost $1 billion to build.
And it looks like it cost more than that, actually. But
really?
It really does. It looks like it cost more than that. But the yeah, they said it cost $1 billion. And the highlight really is that Jay-Z is part owner of it, man. It's a pretty nice deal. Pretty.
And he has a store there, too.
Oh, does he?
Only in America can you go from being a drug dealer in the street to owning part of a sports team and part.
Hey.
Wow.
That's big.
That's inspirational, I'm telling you.
That's inspirational.
It is indeed.
You know,
so,
also, I won't say that that's a black-on-black crime because we're not on that show, but the fact is that, and I think he talked about it, or he was being interviewed, and people keep bringing that up, like from where he came from. And he just says, you know what, you get to make your path, and you don't have to be judged by whatever you did in the past. Like, you can just kind of move forward. And he's moved
forward. You learn from it and you move on, and he's keeping people employed.
Right.
Oh, that's it.
Because nobody is actually a successful drug dealer, for one. Like,
right.
There's only nobody's retired that I've ever known of and be like, you know what I used to do? Now I'm sitting on this beach with this nice, I own a Hilton now. unless your last name's Rockefeller, I'm sorry, Kennedy.
Thank you.
I don't know anybody who's done that.
I was just getting ready to say that. You know, we sometimes forget about the Rockefellers. So, but anyway, you are listening to Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network, and I am here with the fabulous Ronnie and Kai and Jerome, and I am Kathleen Williams. I'm your host. We are just about ready to wind down for a moment, so I'm just going to encourage you all to get out and vote again. Don't wait until November 6th to go to the polls. Find the Board of Elections. Call them up. Find out what you need to do to vote early so you don't have to deal with whatever is, might be facing you on the 6th of November. They moved your polling place. They can't find your voter record. You don't have the proper ID, whatever. Just go early, and you won't have to deal with any of that. Yes, you can go early. Just find out how. And for everyone in the path of Hurricane Sandy, be safe. Have plenty of water around, plenty of batteries, and we will, in the meantime, still pray that the hurricane doesn't have the effect that they are predicted in the meantime. And I just want to thank you all so much for being here tonight. And just let us know what's coming up soon. I know, Jerome, we've got tomorrow at 2:00 Black on Black Crime. So tell everybody how we can find you and the shows that you are hosting.
Well, Black on Black Crime, it's going to be here on ACN or Ask Kathleen Network. Hopefully Kai's going to be around tomorrow. Kai?
It is my intention.
I'm going to take that as a no. Kai gets a zero.
Yeah.
So, Kai sometimes joins us. So, anyway, you can check us out here or check out S3Net News on S3 Radio on Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Absolutely. And, Kai, how can we find you?
You can find me. I'm working on some projects, doing some writing, doing some spoken word, and hopefully we'll finish my book soon. So I've been known to appear here and there.
Wonderful.
And she'll be on S3 Radio for her conversation.
Yes, I will.
So we got to check that out.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll be there joining you. And Ronnie,
have a good evening. Yes.
And Ronnie is
getting ready for Sandy.
She's doing her, doing phenomenal hair. She's done my braids, which look incredible, and makeup and my eyebrows. So she's keeping me beautiful. So if you need someone to help you upgrade your professional
style. With your personal style.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely check Ronnie out. You can find her on Facebook, and you can find her here every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. on Professional Style. And
Veronica Vested, veronicavested@gmail.com.
Awesome. And we have International Men's Day coming up. Jerome and I will be doing some programs. Jerome, I just recruited you. Doing some programs.
No, I see.
International Men's Day. That'll be November 19th. But prior to, we'll be doing some shows right here on the Ask Kathleen Network. I am Kathleen Williams, your host. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. Be safe this week. Have a phenomenal week. We look forward to seeing you again tomorrow at 2 on Black Crime with Jerome and Finesse, and next Sunday evening at 8 p.m. on Professional Style. And don't forget, check out Jerome Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. on FreeNet News Radio. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week. Have a great week and good night.
Good night.